All right, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. All right, next to the last sermon of the year. Ain't that something? Won't be long. Some of you look like you wish it was over already. Man, you'll thank God you made it to church. Amen. Thank God you had heat today. Thank God you was able to get up and go somewhere. Amen. Thank God you had a church still believes the old King James Bible. Still preaches it. Still sings it. Amen. Thank God you still got a church sings the old hymns. Amen. Amen. Ain't no flashing lights. No rolling smoke. Amen. Got no clowns in the pulpit. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I hope you got it today. I want to talk to you today just for a few minutes. And I want to show you something about Israel that I think applies to us as a church today. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, start with verse 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whether you go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the raven of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Father, help me today as I try to preach this. Help my voice, but more important, open some ears, Lord. God, there's probably some people in here today who do not appreciate what you've given them. You've given them a wonderful land, not just this country, but their home, their family, their health, their wealth, their possessions, and a church, Lord, and people that love them, and people that will encourage them when they need encouraging, and will rebuke them when they need rebuking. And Lord, we pray now that you'd remove any hindrance. Anoint me, fill me, use me for your glory and for their good. And we'll thank you for whatever you do in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Now, I want you to listen. This could be the most important sermon you've heard all this year. It might be the last one you hear. Today might be the last sermon you ever hear today. Now, don't sit there and think that wouldn't happen to you. It could. It could happen to any of us. Today might be your last heartbeat, your last breath. I want you to sit up. I want you to listen. I want you to put away all this stuff. You young people, if you're old enough to sit up, you're old enough to listen. So sit up and listen. Now, I want to help you. And I'll guarantee you, when you leave, you'll know something. Israel is about to enter the promised land. The year is around 1451 B.C. It'll be a great year for them. There's a lot of things going to happen. Did you know that it began in wandering in the wilderness? For 40 years, because of disobedience to God, they had to wander in the wilderness till that last disobedient person died off and that new generation rose up. And God let them go into the promised land. That year started, though, while they were still wandering. And then, listen, they get to cross the Jordan River, just like their ancestors. The sea was divided. For these, the river was divided. And they get to see a miracle of God like their ancestors saw. They get to cross the Jordan River. Then they fight and win an impenetrable place, a place that nobody could ever destroy, Jericho. The walls were so wide that on top of it they rode two chariots side by side. People built their houses inside the walls. Nobody had ever gotten into Jericho. It was considered impenetrable. Nobody could do it. But that year, they're going to see those walls fall. And then right after that, they're going to see a defeat of a little city called Ai, because they did not take God with them when they went into Ai, and there was sin in the camp because of what Achan did, and they didn't check what God wanted. They just said, well, we beat Jericho, we can take that little old place, and they were defeated. That year, they were going to conquer Canaan, and they were going to finally possess it, a land they did not plant, but they reaped, a land where they did not build, but they got to live in the houses. The cities that they did not build, they got to possess them that year. All those things happened. All that happened in one year. Now, this coming year, things are going to happen in our lives. And we don't know what it's going to be. But that year, they experienced victory and defeat. That year, we will too. That year, they had high days and low days. We did too. That year, they had mountains and valleys. We did too. That year, they experienced righteousness and sin. We did too. But don't forget, the scripture right there says, the eyes of the Lord was upon them. And this past year, we've had defeats and we've had victories. We've had heartaches and we've had blessings. Hey, look, we've had righteousness and we've had sin. But the eyes of the Lord are upon us. He's never took His eyes off of us, just like He didn't take His eyes off of the children. They learned some secrets about Him. They learned some secrets about God and how to have a happy new year. That year they learned some things. This past year we should have learned some things. I hope you did. I hope you learned some things. If you didn't learn anything this past year, you have wasted a year, because every year is a blessing and every year we'll learn something. It ought to make us better, not bitter. Amen? Now, you have to forgive me. I got to drink water. Philippians chapter 3. I'm not sick anymore. I've been sick as a dog. I'm just hoarse and I'm coughing up creatures of green and red and yellow and Philippians chapter 3. I want to show you the secret that they learned that year of how to have a new year. Now, New Year's coming up. Now, you listen to me. You ought to thank God for every new year. You ought to thank God for it. You ought to look back on the last year and realize you've outlived somebody. Amen. You ought to look on last year and realize you've outlasted some things. Amen. You'll look back on your defeats and realize, I learned some things from that. Well, preacher, I just don't look forward to a new year. You ought to get saved. You ought to get right with God. Every year is a blessing. Amen? Every day is a blessing, much less another year. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 12 and 13. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. Now, listen. Here's how you can learn something. Here's how you can have another year. Another good year and a happy year. Number one, he said, I'm not satisfied. He said, I'm not satisfied. Thank God for what He's done for me, but I want more. I want better. I want to be... Look, you should never be satisfied with your Christian life. You have not arrived. And I don't care what anybody tells you, you have not arrived. And usually the people that tell you you're a good Christian don't know anything about Christianity. That's the same crowd that when they get mad at you, they'll tell you you're a hypocrite. They don't know anything about Christianity. I finally got tired of people telling me that I work a public job. They'd say, well, I thought you was a Christian. I'd say, you don't know what a Christian is. You ain't never read the Bible. You don't know nothing about being a Christian. You've never been born again. I am a Christian. I may not look very good at it right now, but I'm a Christian. Amen? The world says not good, but the Word says that is good to be dissatisfied. He said, I count not myself to apprehended. I have not arrived yet. And I'm looking back on those things and thank God for them, but I'm not through yet. I'm not as good as I'm ought to be or as good as I'm going to be. I'm going to be dissatisfied. You can never be satisfied with your Christian life. You can't compare yourself to others. The Bible says that's unwise.
Man, I'm giddy. She is. Look at that dress. There's something wrong with you too. But I'm good as he is. He smoked cigarettes. Well, I'm sure there's something wrong with you too. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. By the way, if you're a Christian and the worst thing you do is smoke cigarettes, you're doing pretty good.
Amen.
A lot worse things than that. I'm not telling you to go buy you a pack of Marlboros. Cut your life short. But I'm telling you this, if that's the worst thing you can point out on somebody, you better start looking to point out something on somebody else because they're doing pretty good if that's the worst thing they do. Amen? Listen, you have not arrived. You cannot compare yourself to others. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Listen, this is what he said. He was preaching to a church, Jesus was. And he said, you think you got great words. He said, but your words ain't that great. Amen? Now, I want to tell you something. As Christians, we ought to be moving up. We ought to be getting better. We ought to be getting better. Amen? We ought to be more Christ-like every year. We ought to be more... Are you... Did I say that? Say amen.
Amen.
We'll not ever be settled with the way we are. Never. Never. You'll never be good enough to be saved. That's why it took the grace of God to save you. You'll never be any better than anybody else. I'm going to put this in my mouth. But I'm missing a tooth, so I can put it right here. Listen. You'll never be any better than anybody else because the moment that you think you've gotten better than somebody else, that's called pride. You still got sin. Amen? You'll look at people and say, well, man, I used to have that problem. Thank God he delivered me, got me out of it. I'll pray for you. Well, I just don't think he's a good Christian. Nobody asked you. It's not your job to decide that. Amen? Now, we all have convictions and boundaries that we live our Christian life in, but maybe they just haven't got as far as you have yet. And such were some of you. We were all sinners. God's still working on every one of us.
Amen. Yep.
Wouldn't you hate for somebody to come into the closet of your mind and your heart and open it up and let us all see what's in there?
That's right.
Amen. That's enough preaching on that, ain't it? We should be dissatisfied. If you're going to have a good year this coming year, you better be dissatisfied with the way you are right now and want to be better.
Amen.
I can tell that went over like a load of bricks. Philippians 3:14. I'm trying to help you like the Israelites. They learned some things. Philippians 3:14. Look at the second part of that verse. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice part of that. He said, I press toward. We've got to have a dedication and a devotion to accomplish something for God. We've got to be more like Mary than Martha. You remember the story. Jesus goes to her house. Mary just sits there and listens to him teach. She loves him a little bit. She worships him a little bit. Martha's in there in the kitchen cooking biscuits. Want some help. Help me, I'm working in here. Lord, can't you see how hard I'm working? Well, listen, sometimes you need to sit down, skip the work, and have some devotion toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When was the last time you thought about him, just him? Just him. Not you, not what you do. You say you do for the Lord. But when's the last time just sit down and thought about the lovely Jesus Christ? Have you ever put a picture of him in your mind? Living that life you can't live. Dying the death you ought to die. Rising from the grave in all his glory. Rising up to heaven and now seated on the right hand of the Father, and just think about him. Not you, Not what you do. Not, well, I do this for the Lord. This is my ministry. This is my work. No, stop that. Because see, what's going to happen is you're going to get so busy in the work, you're going to forget the devotion to the Lord. That's why he said in Revelation that they had lost, they left their first love. They forgot about him. Did you know a lot of people, saved people, going to heaven people, live pretty clean lives, go to church every Sunday, and the Lord is not included in their worship? The fellowship is. The building is. The tithes and offerings are. The singing is. Maybe even the teaching and the preaching is. But did you know that they're not including the thought of him and who he is in every bit of that?
Amen.
It's just something they do now. See, the problem with most Christians is you leave your first love, which is Jesus Christ, when you didn't know how to tithe. When you didn't know how to sing. When you didn't know how to serve in the church. When you didn't know how to preach at the nursing home. When you didn't know how to give out a gospel tract. But that day, when he found you, you fell in love with him. And it was all about devotion that day. That's what you was talking about.
Amen.
He reached down that miry pit and he lifted you up and he put you on a solid rock. And he established you going forward. And from there on, you've forgotten all about him. Now it's church. Now it's a ministry. Now it's whatever you think you do. I don't know what you do. But if we're going to have a successful new year, we need to put him in it.
Amen.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Your doctrine can be a little bit wrong. You can be real close to him, still be right with God. You may not be able to carry a tune in the bucket. I can't even carry the bucket. But you can still be right with God. You may not be able to put but a dollar a week as a tithe, but you can still be right with God because you love Jesus. And this year, we'll sit down every once in a while and just love him. You know what? I come over here yesterday, and I come over here a lot, and I walked up and down this aisle, and I put my hand on these pews, and I always do, and I pray for the people that I can think of, you know. And I sit down up here on this altar, and I just sit there, and I thought, Lord, this is all good. This is all good. This helps people. This encourages people. People grow from this. People are saved, reclaimed, blessed from this. But if we don't put you at the front of it, it ain't going to work. I'm glad I'm Baptist, but you know what? I think Baptists are right. 100%. I wouldn't be one if I didn't. I think we're the New Testament church. I really do. I've studied this thing in and out. I don't say this because I was raised in Baptist church. I wasn't. I was raised in nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some people ain't Baptists that love Jesus. They love him. And we got to be that same way. You can have right doctrine and still love Jesus. You can have the right kind of worship service, still love Jesus. You can have right kind of music, still love Jesus. You can live right, dress right, talk right, walk right, and still love Jesus. You don't have to do those things without him. Put him in it. I'm going to church today. Why? Because I want to see Jesus. I'm reading the Bible today. Why? Because I want to see Jesus. I want to experience him. I want his presence like what he talked about. A presence that overwhelms everything else. Takes control of you. Amen? These people get up here singing these songs and we just sit there like a knot on a log. But look, if you put Jesus in that song, listen for something about him. You'll get excited, see. I better go on. I'm running out of voice. Look at verse 13 again. I'm sorry. Sorry for coughing in you. In the last part of that verse in 13, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Did you know, you got to have some kind of direction in your life. Forget means we're not controlled by those things. Now, this past year, some bad things happened to some good people. Amen? And some good things happened to some good people. But we can't live on the past. What Paul is saying, and the Israelites learned it, boy, it's good down there in Egypt, but God was reminding them, it's better over here. We need to remember that there's better in the future and there's more to come. Last year's not then. You can't live off last year. A lot of people living off their past. What we need to do, we need to get a new direction. And we need to keep that direction, forgetting those things which are past. And that in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, that's who we need to look to in the future. Looking unto him. Now, if you ain't got direction, you know what people do without direction? They do nothing. For 40 years, they wandered around without direction. Just ran in a circle. From what I read, I don't know everything about that area, but from what I read, I read they were never over 3 days' journey away from the promised land. But every time they'd get close to it, God would blind them. They wouldn't even know they was close to it. And they just wandered around and around. And they'd get close to it, and they wouldn't even know they was close to it. And they'd get close to it, wouldn't even know they was close to it. And finally, that disobedient generation died off, and God let that younger, new generation move into the promised land. And listen, that older generation, the problem with them is they had no direction. And the problem with a lot of church members is, well, yeah, I go to church. Well, what's your plan? What's your direction? What's your life all about? Well, I go home and I eat and I watch television and I go to bed and I get up and I get up and I eat and I watch television and I go to bed. You have no direction. You'll never be happy like that. What we've got to do as a church, we have to keep our eyes on him and keep looking to him and keep going that direction. Amen? You see, you'll never be holy enough. You'll never be right enough. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
You'll never be. You say, well, we cross our T's, we dot our I's, but you'll never be good enough or holy enough or righteous enough, much less to deserve heaven, much less go. And so, here comes a new year. You know, a lot of churches, you know what they're going to do this coming year? Same thing they did last year. We preachers call it sit and soak. They go to church. They sit down. Well, bless me if you can, preacher. And they sit there and they soak it up like a sponge, but they never squeeze it back out again. You know, this place ain't a place. It ain't just a filling station. It's a filling station you're supposed to go out and share it with somebody else. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I got in a hurry. My voice is running out. Look at verse 14 again. He said, I press toward that mark. You know what press means? He's got a determination. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. And listen, you know what he's saying? He said, I'm pressing. Pressing means work. Pressing means, now we've got the devotion. We've got the right direction. What we need is determination to get something done for God.
Amen.
You know why the devil don't bother most people? Because most people don't bother him. That's it. You say, well, preacher, I'm trying to do the best I can. I don't mess with people. I try to be nice and all that. Yeah, but you know what? If you're pressing, that means you're working at something. And this year, you need to get some determination. I'm going to be a better Christian than I was last year. I'm going to be a better witness than I was last year. I'm going to be a better church member than I was last year. I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better mother. I'm going to be a better daughter, a better son, a better grandchild. I'm going to do better, and it's going to take work. You know why half the marriages end in divorce? They didn't press. Didn't want to work at it. It wasn't easy. It got hard. Now you ladies, look up here at me. I'm a man. I'm a blue-blooded, barrel-chested, not ashamed man of being a man. Call that homophobic, whatever you want to call it. I'm a man. God made me this way. Amen? There's some strange things about men. Amen? I knew women would say amen on that. There's some strange things. Some of them we don't like. We make strange noises. We say strange things sometimes. We don't even know we're saying them. It just comes out. We're not very sympathetic. We're not very soft. If you are, we'll have a class on that. God made us to push the rock up the hill. We're to go hunt and gather. I know all this women's lib stuff's really getting heavy and hard now. If a man talks like this, he'll be put in jail. We're meant to go out and kill the deer and bring it in, strip it and dress it and chop it up and bring it in the kitchen. Mama cooks it. I would never put that on my wife. I don't do it, but if I had to, I'd do it. Come on, help me, man. We're dirty. Here we are. We're dirty. Well, you've been in the Marines, they beat it out of you. I'm not dirty myself. But look, women look at us sometimes and say, I can't believe you said that to me. What did I say? I don't know what I said. And it gets hard. And a man goes in the house, he said, I just can't believe you walked in here with them shoes like that. You should have left them at the door. I try to keep this house clean. Look what you do. You have no consideration. You take no thought of what I do around here. And I cook that food and you don't even thank me for it. And it gets hard. And he looks at her and says, I wish you'd take your stockings off the shower stall. And I wish you'd quit getting that stinking perfume soap in there. And that... What do they call that stuff they put in them pots and cook the smell? What? Potpourri. Sound like something you'd smoke. Potpourri. Golly. And it gets hard. And you have to press. And you got to press. And you got to press. And you give a little. And you give a little. And you give a little. Because it takes work to have a marriage. Am I right? And sometimes they get at the end of their rope. And this is it. Well, I just say tie a knot and hang on. But you know, we're married to Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And did you know sometimes it gets hard being the bride of Christ? And did you know sometimes he's like any other man? He has demands we don't like. And he has ways we don't like in this old flesh. And it gets hard, and we have to be determined to be a Christian. Many have fallen by the wayside because it got hard.
Come on now.
Yeah. I don't know who lied to you, Joel Osteen. What's that woman preacher's name on there?
Joyce.
What? Joyce, we know who you've been watching. Joyce. Meyer, Joyce Meyer. And y'all listen to that junk, and they tell you, oh, it's just rosy, everything's rosy, and it smells good, and it's just so pretty. It's not. They had to fight. They had to go over mountains. They had to go through the river. They had to tear down a wall. They had resistance on every step, and they had to press on to get the promised land that God gave them. And the Christian life, you get saved. Oh man, it's just so wonderful. Everybody hugged my neck and everybody loved me. And 2 weeks later they look at you and they won't even talk to you. It gets hard. Let me tell you something. This year you're gonna have hard times too. And you're gonna have to press on. Now his eyes are on you. He never took his eyes off of them, but you're gonna have to press on. I'm tired of this limp-wristed, lily-livered, pink tea and lemonade Christianity. Nobody ever told you it was going to be easy. He died to save you. That wasn't easy. Amen? He's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for you, and fighting the devil every day is what we're going to have to do. Not to go to heaven, but because we're going to heaven. You're not going to lose it, but if you want a successful Christian life, it's going to take some determination, and you're not going to get it on flowery beds of ease. Bad times are coming, good times are coming, but the eyes of the Lord are always on you. Philippians 3:15. My last point. The Methodists are already at the buffet. Line, yeah. I'm saving y'all from having to stand in line. Philippians 3:15-16. By the way, there's five people that's coughing just like me that just went down that buffet. Philippians 3, Luke verse 15. Let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. If anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even unto you. Listen, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. You know what he's saying? We need to be disciplined. We need to be disciplined. We don't like that. You know, people don't whip their kids anymore. They don't do it. Well, I just don't believe in whipping my children. Well, don't. They'll whip you one day. I don't believe you ought to spank them. Yeah, well, you go ahead and think that way. One day they're going to spank you. You say, my children never would do that. Your children are dirty, rotten sinners, just like everybody else's children are dirty, rotten sinners. And they need to get saved. They need a new heart. They need a new mind. And until they get that, you're in charge. Right. You go out to Walmart. Little kids pitching a fit. Telling their mom and dad what they like. If it was mine, I'd look down and say, shut up. I'm in charge here. I got the pocketbook. You don't work. You have no job. I decide what you get. You'll be thankful for anything that you get. Amen? There's a biblical name for that. Brat. Got to be in the Bible somewhere. I know it's in one of them new versions, I guess. But look, we have got to be disciplined. Everything's not okay, sarai, sarai. Whatever will be, will be. That may be new Christianity, but that's not Bible Christianity. Amen? All things may work together for the good of them that love God, but not all things that work are good. And you, look, we're going to have to discipline our lives. And they did. The crowd that didn't go into the promised land was undisciplined. They just wandered around. But these, they had, look, they had a dedication. They had a goal. They had determination. And now they disciplined themselves. They were going to follow one leader. And they were going to do it the way God said it. And it didn't matter what anybody else said. Well, preacher, I just don't want people to think I'm a fanatic. Then you'll never be a good Christian, because every Christian that was ever a good Christian was called a fanatic. Right. Yeah. Well, I just don't want them to call me Bible thumper. Well, every Christian that was ever a good Christian was called a Bible thumper. You might as well get used to it. And who are you living for anyway, that crowd or the Lord Jesus Christ? Discipline your life. You know why some people didn't come to church this morning? They didn't wake up. It wasn't in their plan. They just got up and didn't know what they was going to do. And they just looked around and said, you going to church today? We're going to church today? They had to discuss it. If they'd had discipline in their life, they'd already had that decided when they got saved. When you got saved, here's the discipline you should have had. From now on, we'll go to church. We're not discussing it. We're not having a vote on it. It's not how do I feel or how do things look or how's the weather or is anybody coming over. We just get up and go to church. Amen. You know, I didn't even think about it. I got up this morning late because I'm sick. But I got up and I went to church. It wasn't discussed. We didn't have a vote on it. We didn't see who had a sale today. Look, I went to church. You ask my daughter sitting right there. We never asked our kids, y'all want to go to church today? They didn't know. There was no asking. They just got up and got ready. And by the way, they went to church 2 hours earlier than yours did because they got on a bus every Sunday to ride all over this county and pick up other people's kids who were too stinking lazy to take their children to church. What never discussed? As a member of this church, I don't wonder if somebody's going to come here. You put your name on the roll, you ought to be here. And when you're not, I just assume you're sick or you're out of town. Good preaching, preacher. Go ahead. We have service tonight. If you're a member of this church, I just assume you're going to be here. Because is that not what church members do? They go to church. But some of you will have to have a discussion. Because you've not made that determination and you've not disciplined yourself to say, this is what I'm going to do. Whatever happens, unless somebody's throwing up blood, we're going to church. And this coming year, if you want to have a happy new year, you're going to have to quit getting up just whenever you wake up. You're going to have to decide when you're going to get up before you do. Some of y'all are going to get up and go to work tomorrow. How do I know that? Because that's what you do. You're not going to get up and say, oh man, this 6 o'clock. I don't know if I want to go to. I wonder if I'm going to work today. Let me ask my wife if I'm going to work today. Let me ask the kids. Let me ask the kids if I'm going to work today. You reckon I want to go to work today? You just get up and go to work because you've disciplined yourself to do that. Some of you are going to eat the meal at the same time tomorrow that you ate it yesterday and the day before and the day before. You're going to eat lunch at the same time. Amen? You're not going to wait 12 o'clock and say, I think I'm getting hungry. I wonder if I should go eat. You're just going to go eat. And then when the buzzer goes off at work, you're not going to look at the boss man and say, well, I wonder, should I go home or not? Or should I just work another 8 hours? You've disciplined yourself. Am I making any sense? Now, that first generation, they weren't disciplined. They didn't get in the promised land. The second generation, they were disciplined. They said, this is what we're going to do. And come hell or high water, rain, sleet, snow, cold or hot, air conditioner or heat, we're going to do this. And we've already made up our mind. And there's no further discussion needed. There's no other debate needed. This is what we are. This is what we do. By the grace of God, we're going to do it. Amen. That's how you have a good year. See, some of you are just going to wait and see what happens. You know what happens? Nothing. Or either the bad jumps on you and you wasn't ready for it. Amen. I got to hurry, I know, but this is the last sermon some of y'all going to hear this year, so I can hang on to you. Besides that, you like it anyway. Look, we'll set some things in order this year. Get disciplined. You ought to have daily prayer. There ought to be a time every day, and not necessarily needful, but you pray. Amen. Some of y'all only pray when it's needful. You're sick, so you pray for healing. You're broke, so you pray for money. Somebody's hurt your feelings, so you pray they die. Yeah. Yeah, man, truth is said in jest. You know what you need to do? Every morning get up and have the same time to pray every day. Me and my wife, every day we eat breakfast, we read some scripture, and we pray together. Now, we pray alone too at other times, but that time we know we're going to pray. You need to do that. Well, I pray before I go to bed. No, you don't. You go to sleep. Why are you praying? You need regular time to pray. Listen to me. Hurry. Daily Bible reading. Now, I guarantee you, I don't know y'all. I don't go home with y'all. But there's people sitting in this room right now, hadn't read your Bible all week, and you showed up at church today, and this is the first Bible reading you've had all week. And you expect to be a good Christian this coming year. And you expect God to bless you this year. And you don't even know what God's will is because you're out of touch with God because He wrote you the letter and you refuse to read it. You want the preacher to read it to you on Sunday. Amen, preacher. getting quieter. Before we get through, it's going to be like a church mouse in here. Listen. You ought to have daily holy living. Daily. Not just on Sunday. You ought to live holy every day. Amen. I got to hurry. You ought to have daily witnessing. You ought to witness somebody every day. There ought not be a day goes by that in some way, somehow, you don't witness somebody if it ain't nothing to hand them a gospel tract and find them church. You ought to have regular, did I say three, Danny? Regular church attendance. Wait a minute. Is this thing working? Regular.
Amen.
Well, if don't know if kin folks come over, I'll be there. If we ain't down at the beach or up at the mountain. Regular church sin. You ought to have regular tithing. He said tithing. Hand off. Stay out of my preaching. I'm just getting with the tithing people. I can't go one step at a time. Tithing. 10% of your income. You know, there's people that buy lottery tickets and go to church and never tithe. But they did tithe to the devil. I was so happy when the South Carolina lottery said that they messed up all those thousands of tickets and all those suckers showed up down in Columbia holding all of them just alike wanting money. They shouldn't give them a dime. Don't look at them and say, nah, you dumb enough to buy them. I guarantee you half of them belong to church somewhere, don't even tithe. Did you know this church is operating on money that God does not pay our rent? We do. God gave you the money to do it.
Come on now.
Did you know that heat you got right now is paid for by money? No dirty, filthy lucre. God gave it to you to pay the power bill in this place. Come on. Did you know this morning in the Sunday school offering, Pat, help me, $650 counting today goes to missions just from the Sunday school offering. And that ain't even a tithe. And did you know some people don't even come to Sunday school? Think what it would be if people came to Sunday school and gave to Sunday school. That goes to missions. Amen? You ought to do it regular. God will bless you if you do. I know it's late, but some of you ain't coming back tonight anyway. Look, this year we need to be faithful to God. We need to be faithful to our family. We need to be faithful to our church. We need to be faithful to our job. We need to be faithful to paying our bills. We need to be faithful to loving people. Most Christians only love people that love them. And Jesus said, that's a shame and disgrace. Even the heathens do that, he said, even the heathens love one another if all you do is love people that love you back. Let me tell you something. People loved you when you was unlovable. People loved you when you didn't deserve it. Come on. And we'll love people. Since I've been saved, I can't find hate in my heart. I'm sorry. I've been mad at people. I've even wanted to hate some people. I wanted to. I really did. They hurt me so bad. I wanted to hate them. But after a day or two, I'd say, Lord, forgive me. I can't hate them. They're just sinners. They don't know what they're doing. I ain't no better than they are. I don't like them. I ain't going to be around them. But I can't hate them. And we'll love people. And in church, you'll love one another.
Amen.
You'll love one another. I got to hurry. That's going to... Listen, did you know that even in this church, listen to me, even in this church, people have come through here and tried to separate us from one another? Because they didn't love right. They wanted us not to love right. Now let me tell you something, Billy Burgess. I know you, and I know I probably don't agree with everything you say, do, or think, but I love you. And did you know Christian love is like that? I don't have to agree with you to love you. They've been people come through this church, took out five or six at the time, trying to convince them that this ain't the place for them. But I got news for you. This is the lovingest crowd you're going to find. We'll love you in spite of yourself sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to discipline ourselves to do things like that. It doesn't come naturally. And the children of Israel had to discipline themselves to get into that promised land where God wanted them. And if you're going to get what God wants you to get this year, you're going to have to do that. You do it when you want to. You do it when you don't want to. You do it when you feel like it. You do it when you don't feel like it. And that's the secret of a successful Christian life. We don't go by feelings. We go by faith. And we love the Lord, and because He first loved us, we love others. And then we discipline our lifestyle, and we get some determination, and we press on. And the good times come, and we praise God. And the bad times come, and we weep and cry, and then we praise God when He brings us through. How's your new year looking? You say, well, preacher, everything's looking real good right now. It's going just like last year. Well, maybe you need to change some things. Amen. If you're not saved today, let me tell you something. Your new year is not a good year. Because the wrath of God is on you already. You don't have to wait till you go to hell to have the wrath of God on you. It's already on you. But He loves you. And He wants to save you. And He'd like to give you a new life and a new year. And all you'd have to do is come up here and tell this preacher right here, did I want to be saved? He'll take Scripture and show you how to have a real good year. There's some of you Christians, I've spoke to you today, and some of you it's kind of, maybe it convicted you, maybe it made you mad. If that's so, then you need to get that fixed. It wasn't me, I'm just trying to help you. And then some of you suffering, some of you's had a hard year. And I want you to know, there's another year coming. This is not your last year. And God's going to reward you. This ain't the end. It's the beginning of a new year. Let's stand, Father. Thank you.